Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The EU may be sending Google quite the bill. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. The European Commission is set to announce a fine against Google this morning, reportedly more than $5 billion. That would be a record antitrust fine based off the Commission's investigation into whether Google pressured device manufacturers to prioritize its apps and services on Android phones, and whether preloading certain Google apps, like search, gave the company an unfair advantage and valuable user data it could use to target ads. Google's denied it hurt competition. The BBC's Andrew Walker is following this for us. Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, Tracy.
So $5 billion, that could be a record fine. But what could come of this as a result of this ruling besides just that monetary penalty?
Well, there'll also almost certainly be a requirement on Google to stop these practices. And undoubtedly, if Google were to go ahead and comply, and I think it's fair to say that they are likely to consider appealing against this decision. But if they were to simply comply, there would almost certainly be some loss of revenue as a result of it. Hard to put a figure on it, but undoubtedly it would not be a costless exercise for Google in addition to what is a substantial, although by no means life-threatening, fine.
All right, the BBC's Andrew Walker. Thanks so much, Andrew.
My pleasure, Tracy.
And now let's do the numbers. Google's parent company, Alphabet, is down in pre-market trading 1.2%. The FTSE in London is up nearly 0.6%. Dow and S&P futures are just about flat. And the yield on the 10-year Treasury is down at 2.86%. Since last October's mass shooting in Las Vegas, more than 2,500 victims and relatives have sued or threatened to sue MGM Resorts International for negligence. The company owns Mandalay Bay Resort, where the gunman was perched, and the concert venue, where 58 people were killed and hundreds injured. Now, MGM is filing a lawsuit of its own against some of those victims to get their cases thrown out. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank explains.
Instead of fighting victims' claims one by one, MGM wants them all dismissed in one fell swoop with this lawsuit. Heidi Lee Feldman is a law professor at Georgetown University Law Center.
What they're saying is, court, please declare that they can't sue us in state court because such lawsuits are preempted by this other statute called the Safety Act.
That was passed after 9/11 to protect companies developing anti-terrorism technology from lawsuits if things went wrong. MGM says it's protected because the security firm it used that night is certified by the Department of Homeland Security. Marketing professor Barbara Kahn at the Wharton School says this might work as a legal strategy.
But you also have to weigh the value of your customers, and this seems like kind of a tone-deaf announcement.
Usually, companies don't want to fight with victims. But experts say with a mass shooting of this size and cost, MGM is going to greater lengths to avoid liability. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
We recently heard from Tom in Basel, Switzerland, who wrote to tell us that he appreciates and trusts the way that Marketplace analyzes the economy without foolishness or bias and makes him think about issues in different ways. Now, if you agree with Tom, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to Tom and everyone who makes our work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
You've probably heard the birth order stereotypes. The oldest is that overachieving leader. The middle is always overlooked, that sandwich kid. And the youngest is, of course, the coddled baby of the family. So how does birth order affect you after you leave the nest and enter the workforce? Sandra Black is an economics professor at the University of Texas, Austin. She's actually studied this and is here to tell us more. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you for having me.
So, Sandra, first of all, why is this an economics issue?
We started doing this looking at education and income, and it was really interesting because you find that firstborn children do better, and that's not just because I'm a firstborn child that we find
oh,
this.
Bias. But, I see your bias.
Yes, exactly. Firstborn children do better on education, on earnings, and what we see also is that there's a declining pattern by birth order. So secondborn does a little bit worse than the firstborn, the thirdborn does a little bit worse, and it kind of goes down the birth order till about the fourthborn, and then it flattens out.
So how do you explain that?
There are a number of explanations. It's hard for us to distinguish that because a lot of them are about relations between people. And again, that's not what economists do best. We do rule out some mechanisms. So there are some theories or hypotheses that say that it's something about physiology or biology. So let's say your mother puts her first child up for adoption, and then you're born. You are in the family, the firstborn, but biologically, you're the secondborn. And when we do that, we see that what really matters is the environment. We find some evidence that suggests that parents invest differently. With earlier born children, we see that parents spend more time helping them with homework. The problem is it's hard to distinguish whether that's the parents treating them differently or the kids are different and the parents are just responding to it.
Okay, so you mentioned you're the oldest sibling. How well do you think your family kind of stacks up with your research?
So my sister's going to hate this, but I think we do okay in terms of the pattern. So again, every time I talk about this, people kind of write about their stories. And so I want to caution that this is talking on average, right? So even if your family is not specifically like this, it still can be true on average. But our family, I mean, technically, I think we follow it. I don't know. I got a PhD and she only got a law degree. So I don't know if we should put this on radio. That sounds bad.
Wow, only a law degree.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, that was Sandra Black, an economics professor at the University of Texas, Austin. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you.
That research is going to make my older sister way too happy. What do you think? Does it hold up for your family? Let us know. Tweet us at Marketplace. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.